Good morning, and it is a good morning. Anytime we can come together and remember our Lord Jesus is a good time together. May we never take advantage of being able to assemble when we think of our Lord. I want to thank the brothers who prayed for us, Bill, for James, and for Kevin, and Johnny. Anytime we pray to God is a good thing. Our lesson text today will be in Matthew 6, beginning in verse 5 through 15. As Jesus approaches his sermon here on the Mount, this is an area where he'll address man's piety, who we are before God, and what makes us up to be pleasing to him. Last week we discussed and talked about the generosity, the giving, the charity in our hearts, and what pleases God, not to do it in such a way that people see what we're doing, but in secret. And he'll bring up the second part here of praying. Now I will say before you, there are men who have gone before God probably with even more of a sincere heart than I have at times. But I will say the importance of prayer is essential to being a Christian. And Jesus will tell us how. Sometimes I think the Lord's Prayer in this section is so easily taken advantage of, because traditionally it's just kept repeated. People repeat this prayer because it is a model, it is a good example to follow. But when the heart's not there, and as we see in this message Jesus delivers, it has little, literally, or to no value. Prayers can be in vain. And so we want to take and see what Jesus says of the importance and the essential of why we pray. Why we pray as his people. So beginning in verse 5, Jesus says, again he carries over from giving to, and when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites. For they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they've received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, don't heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows just what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you don't forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. I do have 3 points in this sermon. The first point is the hypocrite's prayer. The second point is the genuine prayer. And the third point is to pray like this. The hypocrite's prayer is reminded of me in Luke 18, Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, God, I thank you, like I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tithe of all I get. Really here, in other words, and I put it up here, I thank you. This is what I believe he's saying. When you see me praying, giving and fasting, and I look at me, we both behold such a pleasant sight. Being merciful to him, a sinner, was far from his mind. That's the hypocrite's prayer. And may we never be in such state. Never look at the guy next to you where he's at spiritually. We're to benefit each other, pray for one another, give to one another. Again, 3 points here. He's praying. The hypocrite's praying. He's at the place to pray. I'm glad I'm not like this guy. He says, I'm giving a tithe of all I get. I'm giving my weekly contribution when I go to church. And I fast twice a week. And it's interesting how Jesus here in his sermon brings out the giving part of our hearts, the prayer part of our heart, and fasting. And this is the hypocrite's prayer. This is a reminder. You must not be like the hypocrites, Jesus says. They loved standing in the synagogues and street corners to be seen by men. I'm sure none of us here go to the street corners as these men did. But the point is, it can, in our hearts, occur that way. Seeking admiration to help their spiritual image. I think that's the temptation men have, is when we do things that we're not doing them to be seen of the next person before God. Jesus recognizes an outward religious performance, masking a heart of insincerity, going through the motions. Pagans practiced, again, because he says, don't be like the Pharisees, but then he says, don't be like the Gentiles, or the pagans. Why? Because they practiced meaningless, repetitive chanting or long, thoughtless prayers. I mean, that was just go on and on and on and on. And the priests of Baal are a reminder. When I see, they had this empty formula of prayer. First of all, when you go into Baal to pray, God is not going to answer your prayer if there's another God before him. Many religious sects today practice this. We're not shocked. We're not aware of the way people practice. But speaking in tongues, I think of one major area that babbling goes on. It's the prayer of ecstatic utterance, where non-intelligible sounds and fragments of speech are made. They think they will be heard, Jesus says, by their many words. There's a lot of chanting around the world, even today. You think about how we come together to worship God collectively and pray. It's very humbling to not try to help people who do such things, that God says, they're honoring me in vain. Jesus said, they've received their reward in full. Their transaction with God's complete, similar to giving. If you do it to be pleasing to men, and you do it ritually, that's as far as it goes. Again, it all comes down, this whole message comes down to where our heart is. But I wanted to say that we have this genuine prayer. This is the second point. There is a genuine prayer. Now, Jesus addresses the strongness of not being genuine in our prayer, and it doesn't reach him. But this, he says in verse 6, in your room. In your room. Literally? It's a good place to be sometimes. Alone with our Father. That's the idea. Without trying to impress anyone. our relationship to God is to Him first. And we have to make the effort to do it alone before Him and talk to God and be close to God. That's your relationship. Along with giving, we're taught to pray in secret. God knows us better than we do. Why would we not go to Him? Jesus doesn't condemn all public prayer. I think sometimes people say, yeah, He says do it in secret. Well, why do you pray in worship service on the Lord's Day? Well, this commands to do so. But it's not always sin to pray publicly. If you get together, you're at a restaurant, that's fine. Jesus did. Jesus set that example. He prayed publicly. And in Matthew 14, 19 and 15, 36, we see Jesus publicly praying. But it's all about our own heart's motivation that Jesus is concerned with. Because again, praying like a hypocrite or praying as a babbler, that's not going to get it done for God. He doesn't see this as pleasing to Him. So we're going into our rooms. We're going to be praying secretively. In Luke 18:1, we're taught why we must pray. Why? To remain faithful and not to lose heart. It's a humble reliance on God when we go to Him in prayer. We go to our Father in heaven for mercy. And then he says, and the third point is to pray like this. This is simple. It's elementary. But I will say that some of the elementary truths of God's Word plant us in our relation to Him. To understand God Almighty takes basic truth. And this truth is praying like this. Now, Jesus didn't say, pray these words, but after this manner. Our Father in heaven. This is Jesus teaching us. Jesus referred to God as Father in the New Testament at least 160 times. Only God alone is our Father, our spiritual Father in heaven. And it's improper to call any man spiritually the Father. No, there's only one spiritual heavenly Father. That's God Almighty. And He's invisible. This is the thing that's intense when we pray to God. He's invisible. We can't see Him. We will, though. And begin by setting our minds on a deep personal. It's personal. We hear a lot of the religious world say, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus? We have a relationship with Christ being in Him, having been baptized for the remission of our sins. But at the same time, we connect with God through Christ. And that is personal. Everyone in Christ has this ability to call God our Father. Then he says, hallowed be your name. I don't know about you, and I don't want to go off kilt here, but sometimes when I pray, I go from my Father and our Father in heaven to, help me God. Jesus says, hallowed be your name. Acknowledge God. Hallow the name of God. This is how we do so when we honor Him as holy. His Word, the Church, the Son of God, Jesus, and the teaching that He gave us, even reading this today. We treat God with the highest possible honor. When Jesus is Lord, when God is our great Father in heaven, no one comes before Him. We don't let anything get in the way of our relationship to God, not even people. He says, your kingdom come. Well, obviously, the kingdom at this time hadn't happened yet. But he says, your kingdom come. So this is an expression of their expectation. Jesus is saying, get to the apostles. The people have this future expectation. Your kingdom come. And they were to pray for it to be established. Pretty amazing that they would be praying for the church to come. And it did come. His kingdom has indeed come at Pentecost. And next week, I will teach on that, God's eternal plan for the people of Him. Your will be done. So after he prays, your kingdom come, your will be done. Pray to be submissive in heart to God, that his will would be done in your life. Pray for those who need to become Christians. God's will is that 1 Timothy 2:4, that all men be saved. And he does desire that when we see his will be done, it's that people would be saved by the gospel message, responding to that word. Then he says, give us this day our daily bread. And notice one thing he says, give us. He's praying collectively, yet we pray in the closet, but he's saying, my prayer is collective for all of you, and to remember all of you when you pray. Pray for all the saints. Keep praying for all of us, that we would have our daily bread. That's the dependence on God who sustains our lives now. We talk about God's goodness and his giving when we take up a collection. God's given us everything we have. No doubt about that. Even for the wicked and the good, right? Jesus said, I let the sun come on the wicked and the good. I let the rain fall. Everybody is given an opportunity to remember to say to God, thank you for the daily bread that I have. It's a one day at a time life. Give us this day. Sometimes you just have to take a deep breath and know that God is in control through all of our lives, and that we can pray about our daily schedule. Give us this day. Okay, what now, God, can I do? And forgive us our debts, all of the moral and spiritual debt to God, everything we owe to God. Please forgive me, God. Please forgive us. Jesus knew we couldn't be sinless. I mean, yes, again, unless our righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the scribes, Jesus did ask them, any of you guys without sin, let him be the first to throw the stone at this adulterous woman. And they couldn't, because nobody's without sin. And all we can do is ask God for forgiveness. He asks us to forgive, be forgiven. As we also have forgiven our debtors. I will say this, we need to commit before God to resolve. I'm saying resolve any hurts, any attitudes, and any negativity or conflict. It's a mandate of God. It's a mandate of God, because he will emphasize that at the end of this. But he says, forgive us our debtors, as we do. We're forgiving people, God, around us that have done wrong. Please forgive us like we forgive them. Lead us not into temptation. And we do acknowledge our weaknesses of temptation. Boy, there is just so much in this world to be tempted with. But Jesus does want us to know that we will be tempted. It's not like we're going to be exempt from being tempted. And that's why he says, lead us not into temptation, because he himself was tempted. He was led out to a desert to be tempted. So he wasn't unprepared to teach us to pray to God to be not led into temptation. But he won't allow us to go beyond our ability to resist. God never tempts a person. This is where I think sometimes people fall short now. They'll think that God failed me. God, I was praying, I kept praying, God failed me. But God doesn't tempt people to do evil. God is good. God is great. God is the Father in heaven. He watches every one of us. And He wants us to do good, as He is. But He does allow us to be proved genuine. He tests our faith when we're going through hardship. Not to punish us, but to allow us to recognize who He is through His Son. And we will have the trials. We're going to have the afflictions. Just being sick physically is an affliction when these bodies break down. But it's never from God tempting us to do evil. In 1 Corinthians 10, 12 through 13, with Jesus, care for us, because He cares for us. God cares for us. That none of the avenues of Satan will be more than we're able to bear. That's 1 Corinthians 10, 10 through 13, 12 through 13. For if you forgive others, in verses 14 and 15, if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive your trespasses. Forgiveness is a crucial condition to be effective in our prayer. The Lord's Prayer was never meant just for Sunday morning sermons or to be recited as script, but to share the life of a disciple's entire life. It exposes who we are when we pray to God. And I wanted to jump back at the crucial condition for effective prayer. If there's something in you that is not right toward another person, we have to. I will emphasize this because we have to go to them. We have to be right with one another to be forgiven of God. We reflect forgiveness in how we respond to other people, particularly in the faith. God always wants us to be honest and open. And that's why we can forgive others their trespasses and be forgiven by God. The invitation is simple. Jesus Himself prayed all night. You know, He never preached anything He Himself didn't do. I don't know about you. I can't recall a time I've prayed all night. I'll be honest there. So don't look at me as the perfect example, but I will say, look at Jesus as the perfect example. We got to love the Sermon on the Mount, because everything Jesus preached for us to do, He Himself did. Which is beautiful for us to want to follow. Do we want to follow the God of the Bible? He did not forbid long prayers, but empty ones. So if you have something on your heart and it takes a long time to get through it, amen. Just don't let it be empty. That's what Jesus warns us of. Don't let your prayers be empty. When you pray, it's a relationship with God. That's what we need to seek. We need to seek this continually. People often reduce Jesus' example to prayer as an empty wording. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, we've heard it. You know, you turn on a religious channel, sometimes you'll hear people praying the Lord's Prayer. It's been probably prayed more than any other prayer any other human's ever done before God. It doesn't make it right, because you can go into autopilot. I use the word autopilot mode. You just do it ritually. I go to service on Sunday, I sing a few songs, I take the Lord's Supper, I pray with the brothers, and I go. I'm saying this is what can happen. Being physically present but mentally or emotionally checked out, boredom and dissatisfaction. The thing that I want to emphasize is when we go to worship service, it's not about me. It's not about us. What did I get out of it? It's what did I give to God? Now, hopefully, the sermon message opens us up to God's Word, but we all have a responsibility. Every person, a visitor, a member, we all have a responsibility. It's a matter of attitude before God and why we do what we do. Jesus taught his disciples that prayer should be a direct, sincere, truthful, loving God as our Father, and that's why I emphasize, he's our Father who's in heaven. John 14:6, only through Jesus may our lives be changed forever. Because Jesus, we know the scriptures pretty well, at least the ones people hear, he said he was the way, the truth, and the life. And no one came to the Father but by him. Well, the challenge of this is, but by him, how do we get into Christ? How do we get into Jesus to be able to pray and have access to the Father? It's only through him that we have this access. If we hear the gospel, the message of the truth, believe it. Believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that this message that he preaches is real and true for each person, we can see this by faith. We can confess Jesus as Lord. We can repent. We have to repent. This is something I think is challenging for the Christian and the unbeliever, is change your life. God instills in us right from wrong. If there's areas of your life you know that aren't right, it's okay. Change it. This is what God calls us to. And then we're to be baptized. The baptism in water alone doesn't save us. When we're baptized in water, that doesn't save a person. But with the understanding, our sins are going to be forgiven is key. Because this is what we're to teach other people. When we baptize people into Christ, they come up a new life in Christ, and we're to teach them, to continually teach them to obey. If there's anyone here that isn't a Christian, please come forward as we sing the invitation song.